What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the show. We are your hosts, Chase and Miles, and we are at the Lucky Duck. Thank you, and welcome to our little corner of the universe where we talk shit, speak into the void, sometimes get in heated arguments over whether Donald Trump is on the Epstein list or not.
He is. He is on the Epstein list. He is on it.
Nice.
Definitely.
Miles is taking the opportunity to use his apparel as a form of protest against the current administration, specifically DT.
I'm selling these for $39.99 per shirt online at theluckyduck.com.
Says Donald Trump is definitely on the Epstein list.
Yeah.
Get it right. Get it tight.
So a lot of people misspell his name. We know how it's really spelled.
Yeah, we know how it's really spelled.
So don't point that out.
Cheers, Miles. It's been a minute. We took a little hiatus, as we usually do over the summer months. It's pretty hot here in Colorado, so we... I guess we have no excuse. We go south, meaning Chile, where it is cold.
Yeah, Chile. It's very chilly. Mm-hmm. No, we have a house in Arizona. We like to go south for the summer, you know, get away from the desert heat of Colorado.
Yep.
So it's pretty nice down there during the winter, but we like to do summer just because it's a lot less crowded. You know, a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, and are you using your black Amex card to book your travels down south?
Yes. By the way, this episode is sponsored by
the Epstein
Files.
Donald
Trump is definitely on the Epstein list.
All right, what are we drinking today?
Oh, this drink is a specialty. It comes from, like, almost the other side of the world.
Oh, my God.
Maybe not that far, but...
It's pretty dang close. We are drinking today what is called a Mediterranean Breeze. It is a grapefruit sort of centered martini style cocktail. It has gin. It has herbs de Mallorca, which is what Miles, I think, was alluding to earlier about it being from a halfway around the world. I was recently in Spain, picked this up, saw this little bottle of these herbs, this liqueur. It's 36% alcohol. I know we typically go for drinks, cocktails that are easy to make. I'm pretty sure you can get this liqueur just about any of your specialty liquor stores, like Total Wine, probably.
Oh, okay.
It also has orange bitters and lemon juice.
Yeah.
Was the other one.
Is there...
I had to think about that.
Is there grapefruit in the cocktail?
There is. Freshly squeezed. Do not use that canned bullshit juice. I know you guys want to just... You don't want to deal with the cutting and the juicing, and maybe it's like, you know, you get a whole batch of it. You got to squeeze your fruit, people.
What fresh. I love about this drink, I don't know if I really get a lot of the aroma from the actual liquid itself, maybe. Mm. But this garnish here is like, when I bring it up like this,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Where the garnish is coming up towards my nose, I get that, and I'm kind of breathing in through my nose as I take a drink.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting that grapefruit aroma. It's so good.
Yeah, it's definitely a grapefruit forward cocktail. Perfect for these like summertime heats. I know everybody's a little hot this summer. The herbs de Mallorca is sort of like a licorice adjacent liqueur. It's got like notes that you would find in other similar, you know, absinthe type. It's like a less strong, potent absinthe almost. Again, these are liqueurs that are heavy herb based. Anise is like a herb that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I think it pairs well. I typically steer away from the licorice adjacent, you know, but I wanted a little bit of a kick. You get little hints of it in this cocktail. But it's not overpowering. I was looking at other cocktail recipes that this was really like the main focus, the main ingredient in these cocktails. And I really feel like it's overpowering in many of those recipes. So I like sort of adding it to like very strong rooted, like already established cocktails. So this grapefruit, call it a martini, if you will. Again, garnish with that slice of grapefruit for that immediate, like sort of like in your face smell as you take your first sip. That's what we're going for here, folks. And of course, if you want to learn how to make this cocktail, you're interested in joining us for this momentous occasion, you can go to our Instagram where we post every episode a photo of the drink and how to make it, the ingredients. So yeah. Get on there and subscribe, like, follow, do all that stuff.
I like how you can suckle the garnish. Like,
well, you don't have to, but you can. There is.
It's pretty good. By the way, if you want to see me eat this whole thing, I'm going to eat this whole thing with the outside, all of it. Stick around. I'm going to do it. You're going to be rewarded, or you can skip to minute 53:04.
Oddly specific.
Yeah. I basically scripted this whole episode today. I don't know if people know this, but we script every episode. Like, the things we say, it's not off the cuff. It's not just what's coming in my mind. It's actually, like, that's why I have the computer here. You have the teleprompter behind me.
Mm-hmm. It's all scripted.
People can't see me. I know you can see behind me, but it's, like, behind me that way.
Miles, I'm getting hand signals from our producers on the side that we probably shouldn't be mentioning this.
Oh, okay.
But then again, why put it in the script?
Yeah.
Why put it in the script? If we can't say it.
Exactly. It's like, you guys wrote the script, okay? So
never go off script.
Right.
Never go off script. That's when you get in trouble and YouTube takes you down.
Mm-hmm. That's when you get on the list.
That's when you find yourself on a pedophile list.
Yeah.
Not today. He's definitely on the list, though, right?
So who is he?
Who? What is the list?
Yeah, what is the list?
What is this list that people call L-I-S-T? Is there a list? Is there not a list? We don't know. But we definitely know for sure there's files, right? There's files associated with, you know, there's a profile, obviously. There's a whole case file.
Yeah, well, I mean, what are the files?
And like, I feel like we're being sort of gaslit. And like, there's no list, though, so don't worry about it. Like, well, okay, there is probably, many people named in these files, and he's definitely one of them. DT is definitely on this.
I'd like to know where the origin of the list came from. I get the origin of the files. I still don't even know what the files refers to. Like you said, there are files of things like from the trial, from like when he was arrested, just like lots of files on things during their investigation, multiple investigations, right? Like he got arrested back in 2002 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then like served like 13 months in prison or something.
Yeah.
Prison. And then like he didn't kill himself then.
Yeah.
And then he like got out and then got arrested again in 2019.
2019, yeah.
Yeah. And who was president in 2019? Donald Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where does the claim that, like, I want to know when Donald Trump says that Obama like made up these files, why does he say that? Like, where is that coming from?
Because obviously Obama during his presidency premeditated this whole thing and was like, yeah, in 2019 or around that time, he's going to get arrested. It's going to be a big bombshell. But even if so, why would he implicate his own party? Because obviously Bill Clinton and the Clintons are also in the files. Like, we need to stop towing the party line here and just recognize that, like, this bleeds between both parties, and there's implicated people across the entire political spectrum, because that's who Epstein was. He was a guy that wanted to have people in his pocket. He wanted politicians. He wanted musicians. He wanted scientists. He wanted educators. And that's really, you know, the sort of like people he surrounded himself with. It wasn't Republican versus Democrat. And also, people forget, for a large part of Donald Trump's life, he was a Democrat. He was recently, before he was elected and did the whole Obama thing, like going after Obama, did he switch parties? So like, I feel like people are getting lost in the details. And this administration is struggling to keep this whole thing out of the spotlight. I mean, it's beyond hilarious that even like his own supporters are starting to go against him. Like, hey man, you told us that you knew you were friends with Epstein. You like there's on record of him. There's photos. There's birthday cards. There's flight logs. I mean, there's no escaping the intertwined connections between these two people and so many others. And that's why everybody's afraid that they're going to release these files, that it implicates so many people. And of course, it's a generalization and so easy to be like, okay, they're all pedophiles. Are they like, cause like that's the whole thing, right? Like he's sex trafficking 14-year-olds or, you know, young women and, to his island. That's all very well documented and known. So like, was Bill Gates, you know, implicated in this? Was, you know, there's several prestigious PhD, you know, tenured professors that are also in these files. Are they implicated? Like, so I don't know if we're ever going to know whether or not like Donald Trump was, you know, having sex with underage women or not. I don't know if that's ever going to be known, but they're so terrified of the implication.
Yeah.
Right. It's all about the implication.
It's all about the implication. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that like here's the thing too, is like Donald Trump's done being president after this, you know? So it's like, if there's not proof of him actually having done anything, his supporters will just continue to support him. They'll be like, yeah, he was in the files. Like, we know he's in the files. Like, they, like whoever, Pam Bondi, whoever said that he was in the files, right? So like people know
Elon
that.
Musk.
The assumption of like his supporters is that you didn't you were friends with him. Like, you can be friends with a bad person before you realize that they're bad, right? Like, you don't know people until you really know them. And so like, just because he happened to be friends with this guy doesn't mean he knew what was going on. So you could plead innocent, right? And just say like, yeah, I was friends with him. He was my neighbor. He was well connected. He was rich. So it made sense to be friends with him. Like, he was a nice guy. And then I found out that he was, you know, doing these things with young women. And then, I said, you know, F you, I'm leaving and not being friends with him anymore.
Yeah.
And, that's, I think, what his supporters are probably thinking. Like,
yeah,
he knew him. He doesn't know him anymore.
Well, if that's the case, release the files and let everybody figure that on their own time.
Exactly. So now this brings up the question, okay, because 2019 was literally all of the Biden presidency. Why didn't his administration release the files?
2019? Donald Trump was still president. 2019,
but then like the investigations.
The investigations, yeah.
All that stuff happened, I'm sure, into like 2020, 2021, mm-hmm. And then like, he had all that time where he could have literally ruined Trump and wouldn't have become president because he's protecting some people or somebody.
So right? Many other people, I'm sure.
Including probably his son, because we all know
Hunter's Biden's a little freak. Hunter little freak, boy.
He had to get that. He had to pay for that crack somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you know, he's just like, I think it would be one thing if he came out, because what he could have done from the beginning is said, yeah, we want to release these files, which he was doing, you know, during his campaign, and then becoming president. Yeah, we want to release these files. Bring someone down, you know, like use someone as a scapegoat. Oh, we can't do it. You know, they requested whatever it was, like grand jury, something, something. Some judge was like, no, you can't release it. You know, do stuff like that shows, hey, we're trying to get the files released. But, you know, the judges and the, you know, the other people, the Democrats, like they're keeping us from releasing them probably because they're in the files.
Yeah.
But instead, what he's doing is being like, oh, that guy, you're talking about that guy again. Come on, let's stop talking about that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I was barely friends with him, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, he's just doing he's all like these
backpedaling
things.
Backpedaling. Yeah. And it's gaslighting.
Like,
and
it's like when you look at a guilty person, he's doing all the guilty person things.
Yeah, he's doing the super guilty person things. And on top of that, they're trying to distract us by releasing the MLK files. Like, come on. We all know this story there. What a shameful part of our history. And to use that as sort of a distraction is super, super just I don't know, like shake my head moment right there. Like, really, man?
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're going with this? So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't think they're going to release it, though. I think it's going to be one of those things where it just will never come out. It'll be like the JFK files. It'll take, like, some crazy, you know, nut in the White House to be like, nah, I'm just going to do political suicide. Biden should have done it, honestly. I mean, he should have, on his way out, he's like, yeah, this is it for me. My political career is, you know, sunsetting, so why not? But I think he probably forgot because he took a nap.
He forgot. He was like, that was on my list. not that list.
Yeah, not that list, but another list. I had so many lists, I can't remember any of them.
Yeah, it's super suspicious. And I feel like because of that, me being someone who's I don't like Donald Trump, it's pretty clear. But at the same time, I don't really care that much. So like, he could just not be in the files. He could have not done anything wrong. I don't care. It's not going to like give me joy to hear that my president like slept with underage women. That's horrible. Like, that sucks. So it would be better if he really just was friends with them, didn't know these things and whatever. But now, because of the way he's acting, he makes me want to wear this shirt in public. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, open your eyes. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Donald Trump thinks you're so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, when I say you're, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about everybody. He thinks everybody is so dumb that we're all going to sit here and buy the bullshit that he's spewing and be like, yeah, okay, never mind. I don't want to see the files. We're good. Like, really? Like, we're like, this is not going to go away. And, you know, the one thing that's been, like, building steam recently is the South Park situation.
Yeah.
So I'm sure everybody knows at this point that South Park ended up signing a 5-year deal with Paramount to basically license the streaming rights because Matt and Trey Parker own in totality the streaming rights to South Park. And so they signed that over to Paramount Plus for a estimated worth of $1.5 billion, which is approximately $300 million a year for 5 years.
That'll pay for those Casa Bonita renovations.
Yes, it will. 10 times over, baby. Like, those guys are like, yeah, we're going to build like 7 more Casa Bonitas. Just like, but I heard that they released a new episode. I guess there were stipulations to this deal. There's also like, the billionaire that owns Skydance, who is basically merging these companies together, and one of them is Paramount Plus, is a supporter of Donald Trump. They're kind of guesstimating this is the reason why CBS, which is also part of the Paramount global family, canceled the Colbert show, or the late night show with Colbert, Stephen Colbert, in retaliation to some of the things that he said on that program.
By the way, I read that guy, the owner of that company or CEO, actually is or donated a lot to the Democrats.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So I don't know if he's personally a Republican, but obviously, business is business, and so he has to do what he has to do to get the merge.
Yes, right. Which was approved, but the way that South Park is handling this is quite quintessentially South Park, and hats off to those guys because they just continue to be like, I don't care what you say, what you do, we're going to do what we want, take it or leave it, which is why they were able to secure $1.5 billion to a show that apparently, quoted by the White House statement, is no longer relevant and hasn't been for like 20 years or whatever it was. Okay, sure. I guess the numbers do lie. They rolled an ad at the end of the season one premiere episode that uses what we thought was AI, Trump in the desert and showing his little tiny penis, but apparently it was all done with practical effects. And have you seen the photo of I think it's Trey or Matt like laying down, and it's his finger That's the actual
really
dick of Donald Trump moving. Yeah.
Okay. So what did they use like for his skin and stuff?
It was either a fat suit or an actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, pull it up.
Oh,
yeah,
so wow.
So we can pull it up on for everybody to see. We're on YouTube, guys. You can also watch our show video on Spotify. So if you guys are Spotify listeners, you can watch along while you listen, and you can see all the cool stuff we put up on the screen. So Trump is walking through the desert, and it's a spoof of one of those "He Gets Us." It's the Jesus ads that you see on like Reddit and all the other platforms, and it's like Trump, Donald Trump gets us, you know. And so he's walking through the desert, and he's like, it's kind of like, you know, the 40 days and nights of Jesus Christ's pilgrimage to the desert. And he's like taking off his shirt because he's so hot, and he like ends up falling down, and his little tiny dick says, "I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message." But there's the photo of the live shoot. They're actually in the desert using practical effects. Here, zoom in on that. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, so it's just somebody that looks like him.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny!
Isn't it great?
I love like how he has this like little thing on his finger.
Yeah, yeah. The little foreskin like left over.
That's great.
Yeah.
Honestly,
this is so South Park.
When I saw it, I didn't think it was actually an episode because I hadn't been keeping up with it super recently. So I was like, I don't know if this is actually a South Park episode. And I was so disgusted when I saw it. Like, it's so gross looking.
Yeah, it's so gross looking. And it's like talking and this high pitched voice, like totally South Park would do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible.
But I guess Paramount Plus is getting the bang for their buck because streaming is up 285%. And over 5 million people tuned in to the episode one. I think the next episode should be coming out this week or the next.
Okay.
But should be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out.
Well,
the attention they've been getting, specifically getting called out from the White House.
It's too bad Paramount didn't wait to do this merger like a month from now.
Yeah.
They could have gotten way more money.
Yeah, they could have gotten way more money.
You know, like you're up 280%.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You know, for a long time, South Park was streaming because I guess, you know, there's a difference between like the like syndication and rollout of episodes on cable television and their streaming rights. And it was this whole thing as Netflix and HBO and all these other streaming platforms came about. It's a whole nother legal ease of digital rights. And so Matt and Trey Parker early on recognized this and secured the rights to their own show for streaming. And so that's why for a long time there was South Park Studios, which was the website that they hosted and featured all, you know, at the time it was like 23 seasons of South Park. And you could watch it for free with ads, I think.
Which was pretty nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine too if it's on Netflix or something because most people already pay for Netflix. But it was cool that you could have it all in one place because a lot of those shows you would find like a season here and on this service, stream mm-hmm. season there until that kind of like stopped. And then you would find them on like Hulu. But Hulu sucked because then you'd like watch an episode and then all of a sudden your ears would be blown out by the volume.
Ads. Yeah. Yeah.
So, that was super dope that they did that for a while.
And then they licensed the streaming rights to Paramount Plus and they took down the website. You know, because that makes sense, right? They're now giving the rights over to Paramount Plus. But smart business move on their end. And these guys obviously don't need the money. So that is the most powerful thing. Because when you get fuck you money, like you can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. And, you know, obviously now they're, you know, they handed the rights over to Paramount Plus. So there was probably like a conversation that was had after they published the episode, but they were recently at Comic-Con in San Diego. It was this past weekend and they hadn't been back to Comic-Con for a while. And so they were asked by the moderator, like, you know, how are you receiving, like, what's your response to all the feedback you've gotten since the episode's been aired? And they were like, we're terribly sorry.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And then they're like, on to the next question, which just reminds me of the episode where they satired the BP oil spill. They ran all those different like ads from the CEO of BP, and he's like, yeah, we're sorry. Oh, did we spill oil in the Gulf of Mexico? We're sorry. Oh, sorry. Gulf of America.
Oh yeah. Gulf of America.
Sorry.
Right.
Sorry. Don't cancel us, Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I love how they're always pushing the boundaries. I remember the time I watched on TV them, the episode where the CEO of Sony was like having sex with this lady on a table. And it's just like, holy crap. How do you put this on here? So for them to go and do that, it's pretty cool.
They're like the superheroes of the comedy world. If you could say that, right? They're just not afraid to go to the lengths to voice an opinion or to make fun of something when so many other people are captured by, you know, politics or money and are afraid to go to those types of places.
You know, hats off to you. I feel like Colbert's show was canceled, and then you had some people coming out saying that the reason for it was because, and this is a problem in all of kind of like late night comedy, is that like the hosts have kind of only gone for half the audience, basically. Mm-hmm. Because they're so political that you're just not gonna have you're probably not gonna have many Republicans watching that show, and the majority of Republicans just won't watch the shows, and so. Yeah. That it's interesting because I feel like that is true. And even with South Park, if you look at South Park, I'm sure they had political satire in the past about different presidents or leaders of different countries. But it wasn't as heavily until about Trump's presidency when you started seeing like those changes with South Park, where they became much more political. Like Mr. Garrison, the teacher, becoming kind of like the Trump character. And that was like in a lot of the episodes, you had that kind of like political satire. And it's true about late night too. If you go back to like Conan or Letterman or
Leno.
Mm. Yeah. Like they were political too, but it was like, I think their show was a lot more about just making fun of everything. Yeah. And I wonder why that shift has happened. I don't know if it's like because politicians are much more character driven now rather than like kind of boring. Like maybe the politicians were a little more boring in the past, and so it wasn't as fun to make fun of them. But yeah, it's a thing.
You know, I think there was an interesting clip going around of Johnny Carson speaking to why he doesn't why he didn't lean politically in his run. And I think he sort of identified or framed his show as more of a comedy variety show, to which, you know, I think his explanation followed in line with like, that's what we are. We're not we don't like support or like push an agenda. We're just straight comedy, you know. And then, I think you probably can see a trend in Hollywood specifically where it becomes more liberal leaning. And, you know, these late night shows are representative of that, I think. You know, you have the late night shows in New York, very democratic, city. You have, I think Jimmy Kimmel's on the West Coast.
Yeah,
so it's in LA. So
Hollywood,
obviously,
actually.
You know, Hollywood, so they're sort of like they're surrounded or they're in these places that are very liberal. So I suppose that has deep influence, right? Mm. And the money and the networks, they all serve the same folks, the same sort of you know, liberal Hollywood sort of agenda. And it's sort of like just kind of steers in that one direction. And honestly, with Donald Trump being president and, you know, this first term, there's a lot of comedy to be poking in front of. You know, he's a ridiculous person, in my opinion. So to Did start you... attacking him was like sort of an easy joke, if you call it that.
Yeah. Because I don't know if I saw the same thing when Biden was president. I think the jokes were still geared towards Trump.
Kind of, you know, but I remember a few years ago, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon. It was like making fun of his age. They weren't afraid to go there.
Sure.
Even SNL. I mean, you had Dana Carley, or I can't remember the guy's name from the Mike Myers movie, Wayne's World. He played Biden in a lot of the sketches. Mm-hmm. And so they ask him, like, hey, man, do you feel bad for, like, playing just a guy with dementia or, cognitive decline? And he was just like, it's a bit. It's comedy. It's always – that's what that show is, you know. And that was, like, my whole take on the situation of making fun of Biden was, like, you know, you guys are, like, going to look back at this in, like, 10 years and be like, man, we were making fun of this guy who was, like, barely all there, which, like, is a little fucked up. Like, Trump is, you know, seemingly all there. He can still critically think and can remember things.
I don't know about these days, but...
These days, you know, he's a little old. In fact, I was watching videos of him on the campaign trail for his first election, and man, is that a difference.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. That guy's age. I mean, that's what presidencies do. You know,
well, also, he is really fucking old.
He is really fucking old. Let's be honest. I don't know. You look back and you're like, yeah, at the time it was comedy. Everybody was accepting of this, but retrospectively, yeah, it was a little fucked up that we made fun of an old guy for having old guy tendencies.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like making fun of somebody who's just an asshole, which is just kind of Donald Trump's stick.
So do you think that if we didn't have Donald Trump, let's say like Jeb Bush had gotten elected,
yeah, they probably would.
Someone
kind of
boring,
him.
Right?
Yeah, he's kind of like, you know, he's not a good public speaker. You know, we all saw his campaign. Same election cycle as Donald Trump's first presidency.
Yeah,
and he just got blown out of the water. Like he couldn't compete with the other guys up there.
Yeah. Who was closest? I feel like who was closest to beating Trump?
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
In that cycle, I don't know. I don't remember.
Wasn't it like Marco Rubio was running?
Rubio. Ted Cruz was running for president. Oh, yeah. You had who was the doctor guy? Dr. Carson? Not Carson. Doctor.
Didn't he die?
No.
No, he didn't die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. There's a few other Republicans.
You know, all those guys hated Donald Trump.
Yeah, because you know the guy and you're like running against him, he's probably like not really nice to you. And of course, like when you like, you know, bend the knee, then he's like, oh, I like little Marco Rubio.
Have you seen those photos or videos of Marco like in the Oval Office when they're having a discussion and like the look on his face just looks like,
yeah,
I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
You know,
basically everybody has that look. It's called it's not the Trump deranged syndrome, but it's just like the I can't believe he just said that syndrome. Which is like, I don't know if that's right, and also don't ever say that again.
Well, it's also because like some of the things he says then reflect on that person. Yeah. So like now they have to figure out how to make that sound good, right?
Yeah.
And usually the way that they do that is they get on CNN or Fox News, or not Fox News, they get on CNN and they ask them like, they said this crazy thing. Oh yeah, you know, it's just politics.
Yeah, it's like the Jerome Powell video interview where they're both wearing hard hats and he's like saying, oh yeah, this and that, and Jerome's like, no, it's not.
I thought it was AI.
Yeah.
That's how I've been seeing these crazy things online, and I'm literally like, this is AI. There's no way this is happening.
That
right
definitely
now.
Was real. And he was like, no, he's like, here, I have the new numbers. And he looks at it, he's like, yeah, but you added this thing. This was already built like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't do that.
But the way he says it, like, okay, first off, they're standing next to each other.
Yeah.
This is a guy that Trump has been like, called him like mentally challenged.
Which he appointed him. Just
he
saying.
Appointed him. And he forgot that he appointed him.
Yeah, he forgot he appointed him.
And then he's just standing next to this guy and he's like interrogating him, like saying that like, he spent this much extra. And literally as soon as he says it, you can see Jerome Powell. He's just like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, he's kind of like struck, like off guard. Like he's like, how could he have just said this thing?
Yeah, and
then he starts pulling out his glasses, right? Because he's this old guy. And then Trump pulls out this this piece of paper. Like it was almost scripted. How crazy it was.
Yeah,
Trump pulls out this piece of paper, unfolds it, and he's like, yeah, it's right here. He's like, who came out with these numbers? Oh, it was you guys. And he looks at it, and then he says that was like built 2 years ago. It's just crazy.
It's crazy because like. As foreign entities look upon us at our like legitimacy or like we got our shit together. Right. And they see that and they're like, they don't have their shit together. Like this guy's lying to his country and he's getting caught on television lying to the country and he's just rolling with it.
Yeah. I saw this bit on Comedy Central that was, one of those talk shows where, it brought this situation up and it was like, Trump was like, Jerome Powell's like building his own little like palace and he spent $2 billion on it. And then it goes into a clip of Trump in his Oval Office with like gold plated everything.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, I don't know, $200 million to basically renovate the whole ballroom at the White House is a little extreme. $200 million. I don't know if it's a renovation or an addition. Or whatever it is, but that's insane.
What
man.
Can you even? I feel like I mean, just thinking like $1 million, you could build a pretty nice house.
Yeah.
$2 million, you could build a pretty nice house and then put really nice furnishings in them.
Yeah.
So now, what are you doing to the ballroom? You know that you
everything
need
gold.
I feel like it's it's probably one of those things where. I was talking to a guy recently. So I've been having a lot of mechanical problems with my Jeep Wrangler. Jeep, fuck you. Build better cars. Okay. Build back better. Stop being, make Jeep great again.
Yeah.
Because.
Magic.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope. That was it.
Maha.
Maha.
I should bring that up to them in a marketing pitch. Anyway, so I've been having a lot of issues with the Jeep. It's just breaking down. The guy tells me it's probably from poor maintenance. I have the records. Mm. But you know what I don't have? Mm. A warranty.
Of course.
So it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if you did your differential oil changes at 30,000 mile intervals.
Wait, is there an oil change for your differential?
Yeah, there is. Oh. Yeah, so on a Jeep and like any four-wheel drive car, I guess, there's a differential in the back and there's a differential in the front. The front one is only used when four-wheel driving is engaged, so otherwise the gears aren't running. The back one is used all the time. You're supposed to check the oil every once in a while, and if it looks bad, then you would change it.
So do you do that?
So I did have it done at like 35,000 miles, which is probably a little bit early for someone who's not using it like pretty intensely. But I did buy it used, so I don't know what the person before me did. So I did that. I'm at 70,000 now, and so you're supposed to do it like 30,000 to 40,000 miles. But what happened was I started having metal in there. Something just went faulty. Mm. Anyway, so I had to go get that changed. My radio also went out.
Radio?
My radio. Yeah. So like the screen.
Oh.
Yeah. It just wouldn't boot up.
Is that like a fuse issue?
Thought it was a fuse issue. So I tried replacing the fuse. I tried resetting the system. You know, there's certain buttons you can press to reset it and everything.
I had that issue with my... Jeep,
yeah,
Grand Cherokee,
yeah. So in that case it was like the fuse. So I've always had an issue where like sometimes it wouldn't start or whatever. Like, is it like really rare issues? This time it just would never start. It would never start up. Sometimes the Jeep logo would come up and then, but it would never boot the software.
Oh.
So I have a local person that I go to. I brought it to them and they said you have to bring it to the dealership because they're the only ones who can work on Uconnect, which is the entertainment software that they use. So I bring it to them. First off, it's $250 diagnostic fee just to determine what is wrong.
Right.
and they're the only ones who can determine what is wrong.
Oh yeah,
so I have to pay this. Yeah, I can either just replace it myself or I can pay that. When you pay it, it goes towards a repair. So if you get the repair done right.
Okay, well that's good at least.
Yeah, so I bring it in, not working. Oh yeah, there's something faulty in your radio. It just doesn't start. So you have to replace the entire radio.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
When you say radio though, it's just the interface, like the touchscreen. It's the component.
Yeah, it's like the whole computer, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Which I thought was the entertainment system, because when I went there, he was like, "Yeah, you might have to replace the radio," and then I said, what's the radio?
Yeah, like the antenna?
Like, yeah, because I know what a radio is, but like my car doesn't really have a radio that is visible to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I thought we got rid of that.
Yeah,
thing.
And he was like, you know the screen? That's the radio. And
like,
I was
like, fuck off.
Yeah.
No, it's not. That's the touchscreen.
Yeah. I was like, okay, whatever you say, boss.
This guy's living in 30 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's a radio, buddy. You just got a little smarter.
Yeah. So I had to replace that. Radios are not cheap. And even if you DIY it,
stop calling it a radio.
I know.
You're fucking me up right now. I'm like thinking about fucking antennas and shit.
Yeah. So then I also have to replace the bearings in my differential because of them going bad. Yeah. So basically what happens is, like, metal shavings can like come off of components, mm-hmm. and then they kind of like get stuck in the gears, and so your bearings are kind of like they start getting pitting from the metal kind of rubbing on them, and eventually they'll just kind of like fuse and then rupture.
Yeah, sounds dumb. Buy a different car.
Yeah.
Sounds dumb as fuck.
I would, but any four-wheel drive car is gonna have the same problem.
I know.
So, and you never know how that person took care of it. Maybe they didn't do the changes. You know,
that's true.
So, I've been having all these problems. More problems. It's not just that. I also had the oil cooler, which is the thing that cools down your oil.
What?
Yeah,
didn't know that.
Uh huh. So. Apparently, oil gets hot.
Imagine that.
and if you don't cool it down, it gets too hot, and then your engine explodes. So what you have to do is basically you use coolant, which is like that colorful. Sometimes it's green, yellow,
yeah, don't drink
purple.
It.
Don't drink it; you will die. That is the thing that basically runs the coolant near the oil to cool it down, mm-hmm. and then runs it back into your engine, and then it keeps your engine from blowing up. Mine started leaking oil, so that was another problem. The AC has a leak.
Oh no.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my transmission seal also has a leak. Mm-hmm. And when talking to some people, basically you don't work on your transmission. It's the most expensive thing on a car.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to like do work on it, you might as well just get a new car.
Sometimes, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't
sometimes.
Know. Yeah.
So
it depends.
Those are all the issues. I've been having issues. So I was like, I need to get, I'm working on the AC thing. You have to like recharge it, put dye in it, you know, the whole system.
Yeah.
With the radio touchscreen and the bearings, I went and got that replaced at the dealership. So I'm telling you guys all this for no reason, because I could have just said I was taking an Uber, but I wanted to voice my complaint to Jeep. Fuck you.
How much did this cost you?
$4,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how much, I'm wondering, just curious, like, what do people normally need to budget annually for car maintenance? Like, what is like the recommended amount?
So I have the same question, because I've never had, until last year, I didn't have pretty much any mechanical issues with my car.
Yeah.
You do your normal maintenance, right? So you get an oil change, you get
an alignment,
you get rotation, you get new tires when you need new tires, you get your brakes checked. Sometimes you have to replace your brakes depending, you know, how you're driving. There are certain things you have to do. At like 100,000 miles, you have to replace certain belts in the engine.
Yeah.
Because they just wear out. But it's like fairly easy stuff that might cost you a couple $100 at your mechanic, but it's not end of the world stuff like thousands of dollars. Then I have my Jeep suddenly start having issues. I'm at like 70,000 miles. And then this was kind of the first time where I realized how expensive a car can be, because you know, you go and you purchase a car, whether it's new or used, and you're thinking, I have a $500 payment per month. You probably are also going to be spending $300 to $500 on maintenance once a quarter, you know, something like that. You've got your insurance bill. Mm-hmm. And then you have when shit don't work, costs.
Yeah.
And like, those are the costs that you have to budget every month for years, because 1 year it's going to cost you $4,000.
Yeah.
And it's going to suck because your car might only be worth $20,000. Mm. You know what I mean? Or even worse, like your car might be worth $6,000. Mm-hmm. And then you're spending thousands of dollars to fix your car. It's a really shitty situation. Fortunately, my Jeep's worth a little bit more than that. But
in certain like circumstances, though, with like cars that are only worth six, couldn't you just like insurance total it, you know, like insurance?
Yeah, drive it into a wall.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, hey, I like it needs all of this. I have insurance.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Because it doesn't cover maintenance, right?
No, I think it's like accidental. So,
yeah.
Yeah, like the best thing.
I accidentally broke my touchscreen radio.
Well, that's where people get into insurance fraud. Oh, you know what I mean? Right. So like people who will purposely hit another car.
Yeah.
So that they can be like, oh, there's, you know, the AC was broken when I hit the car or whatever. And so, you know, now there's dash cams, so you can't really do that nowadays. But yeah, that's, you know, that's when you start thinking, you're like, the luckiest thing that could happen is basically, you get your car gets fucked up and you don't get hurt. And it had a bunch of things wrong with it. You know, I thought about just selling the car and getting a different one, but it goes back to the whole thing I said before. You don't know how the person before you maintained that car,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They might have not. They might have not used the factory engine filters, the oil, done the right oil changes, used the right coolant, so that the engine could last less amount of time.
I'm thinking like 20% of car owners are doing all the
good
shit.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
The odds are stacked against
you. And if you have a mechanic who's trying to cheap out, right? Like you're not going to know if they use like with Jeep. Mopar is the company that makes a lot of the parts. You're not going to know if they used a Mopar filter.
No.
In
fact, the last time I went to go get an oil change, they filled a third of the oil up, forgot to put the cap back on. And then I called them to like complain about it, and they're like, "No, we didn't do that."
Really?
Yeah. I was like, "Are you kidding me?" Like,
where
I
did
have
you
the
go?
Proof. Like, we have video footage.
Where did
I'm
you
like,
go?
Pull the video footage. Service Street. Fuck you.
Fuck you, Service Street.
We're talking about fuck yous right now. Fuck you, Jeep, and a fuck you, Service Street.
Oh, also, I'm not gonna name the place because I don't actually remember. I don't know who did it because my mechanic, when you do alignments, they send them out to a tire, one of those tire places, Big O Tires, Cheap Tires, whatever. Mm. They sent it out to do an alignment. My steering wheel is off.
What? What does that mean?
Like, it's off center, so. You know, usually when you know you need alignment, it's because your car is kind of pulling to one side,
shifting,
right?
Yeah.
So you get the alignment, and now the car, when you're not holding the steering wheel, drives straight, but the steering wheel looks like this, you know? So it's like off center.
Wait, so you got it back and it was like that?
It was like that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right?
So what did you do? Did you go back to the guy and you're like, excuse me?
So I haven't gone back because I was traveling and stuff, but and that's the problem is I went back to them. To my mechanic, and I said, "Hey, it's not." And they were like, "Well, you have to go to Big O Tires, whatever it is."
Well, there's that, and also like once you take it back and you don't call them, they're like, "No, man, this could have happened like anytime in between."
Yeah.
So how are we liable?
And that's when I feel shitty, and I just say, "All right, how much to fix it?"
Yep.
And then they tell me $200, and I say, "But no." Why did that happen?
He's trying to crack open a Topo Chico right now, and it's angry at him.
It was like
that's that carbonation.
It was
dog.
Like you're not ready for it.
I'll come back 3 days later, and this thing is still kicking with carbonation.
Is that why you buy the big ones? Because you know
you gotta buy the big ones
that you could just have it the next day if you don't finish it.
Yeah. In fact, I think Miles got me He called it the emergency topo. It was like a 1 liter topo, and I did not drink it during emergency, I will say.
Did you drink it?
I drank it.
In one sitting?
Yeah, one sitting.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was huge.
You can do it if you're brave enough. You could do it.
Yeah, so I've been having these issues. So anyway, point being, guys, save up because the issues, they come and they come and they come. You know, I do have a Hyundai Sonata, and I'll have to say that car was stolen.
That car, yeah, it was stolen.
Yeah, no, but it's super reliable aside from it being stolen. If it hadn't been stolen, it's a good car. I do have some kind of leak now. I also, you know,
you get car troubles, brother.
I have a lot of car troubles. It pisses me off. You know, nowadays on wheels, they use wheel locks.
On wheels, they use wheel locks?
Yeah. I don't know about Teslas, but, you know, probably that
you're talking about, like, the lug nuts?
Yeah, they
one of them is, like, and a wheel is, like, you need
it's
a
weird.
Special thing.
Yeah, you need a special key for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that.
Do you know what happens when you lose that?
You're fucked.
And neither do I. because mine was stolen.
Oh.
When my car was stolen.
So they stole the thing?
They stole the key.
Yeah, because it's probably worth money, right?
I don't know, because I would assume they're kind of unique.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And so I don't know what they're using it for, but I guess they can probably sell it. So
eBay.
Apparently you have to go to the dealership to get a new one. And I'm guessing that I'm going to be... You know, I haven't rotated my tires since then. That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, you probably should do that.
I know.
You probably should do that.
You know, the last time I got tires on that car was in 2020.
But you don't drive it that
I long. Barely drive it. It's a 2016 and it has like 70,000 miles on it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's 10
that's
years
about
old.
How much Janie's car
it's
has
10
on
years
hers.
Old.
Yeah. She doesn't really drive that car either.
Yeah. So
it don't got that special lock on the car though. But it does have those like little touchscreen on the not touchscreen, but like the little touchpad on the outside of the door.
Yeah.
Where you can punch in a number. And ever since we got it from the dealership, like we don't know what that number is. And you can't just like reset it. You have to like do this whole thing. Go
but
to a dealership.
I feel like that was kind of like a novelty when that came out, but it's totally useless.
Yeah, I don't think people use it.
It's like, why are you trying to get into your car without your key?
Yeah, nowadays you just use your phone. Most cars, you can just unlock your car with your phone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know. Most cars.
Sorry, 2016s don't have that technology. Wasn't invented yet.
Yeah. So I'm at the Jeep dealership. I bring it in. This is something that kind of annoys me. I get why they do it, but it kind of annoys me about Jeep dealerships. And I'm sure Jeep, Chrysler, Ram, I'm sure other dealerships do this too. So I'm not just complaining about fuck you, Jeep. You make an appointment and you bring it in and you didn't really make an appointment. You kind of just made like, hey, I'm probably going to come today appointment, you know? Because when you get there, they just tell you, we might get to it tomorrow.
So you go, okay, where's my loaner?
Yeah. So you go there, and so, like, I show up, and the guy's like, oh, do you need a ride home? And I was like, no, I'm going to stay here and wait, because I brought my computer, so I can just work at their little lounge area.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I don't know if we'll get to it today. And I was like, well, I have an appointment, so what? Like, why not? And he's like, well, everyone, like, I don't hear anyone working because they're all at lunch because I went in at like noon. And then there's a lot of people before you. And so I was like, okay, can I come back? Like, can you make me an appointment where they're for sure going to see me at that time and I'll come back? And he's like, no, when we do diagnostic checks, there's no...
We get to him, we get
yeah,
to
we
him, buddy.
That's basically what he said.
Yeah.
And I was like...
You just gotta be here.
I was like,
gotta be here.
What? That doesn't even make sense. Like, you're just gonna keep my car. Yeah. What? That's crazy. So he was like, well,
that's
how
such
far...
a shitty... If dealerships could just be, like, good...
Yeah.
Like, that would be so transformative to, like, the car buying experience. Just, like, yeah, these guys will take care of it. Like, hospitality doesn't have to be just in the restaurant business or the hotel business. It can also be just, like, in any business.
Well, also, I mean, these guys are probably, like, I'm paying $4,000, and honestly, parts and labor probably cost, like, $1,500.
Yeah.
They're making so much money.
Oh, they're making hand over fist. Yeah. Isn't it nice to go somewhere and feel like you have agency? Like the employee that's like representing the company that you're like going to has like agency like over your concerns.
Yeah. Like the Capital One.
Hey
lunch.
Man, I'm gonna take care of this shit for you. Like, don't worry. Like, I got your back. Yeah. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure this Jeep gets done today. Like, he could have said that.
Yeah.
And it still not happened, and it still make you feel good. That's the difference between like hospitality and no hospitality, is like how you feel during this like service transaction.
Yeah.
Like, instead, that's all he had to say to you.
Instead, he called
he's
it
like,
a radio.
Instead, he was like, yo, your radio's bad.
And then belittled me for not knowing what a radio is.
Like, bro, I know what a radio is. That's not a radio. That's just the thing that makes the what are you trying to do to me right now? You're trying to distract me from the real problem, which is y'all suck.
Yeah, and I bet you're on the Epstein list.
Yeah, he's on the Epstein list for sure.
Yeah, so then he's like, well, how far away do you live? And I was like, dude, I'm like, so I went to the one on Arapaho because they had a coupon. It was like $150 off or something. So and the one closer to me doesn't. So I was like, I'm like 25, 30 minutes away. And he's like, oh, that's probably okay. Dude calls me an Uber. Doesn't charge me for it. Just calls me an Uber.
You know, you can ask for a loaner. They have those. And if they don't have the loaners, you just ask for any of the cars in the lot. Because they can also do that.
I didn't want one, though.
Yeah, but you had to get home. And then what's going to happen when you need to go pick your car up?
Yeah, good point. But I just had Sarah take me. So getting in the Uber, I'm riding in the car. Fast forward. I'm going to come back to that story. Fast forward. I get the stuff done. It takes through the weekend for them to do it, which is fine because I'm gone. Come back, get my car. Then I start getting the texts. Hey, we really need you to fill out the feedback survey. Like, we really depend on it, right? Because Jeep, the company, sends me an email saying, how was your experience at this place? And then the place is like, hey, can you rate us 10 stars?
Yeah.
You know, on the Jeep. I ignore it because I'm like, fucking guy thought I didn't know what a radio was. Suck my dick. Also, pissed me off that I had to take an Uber home.
Yeah. I didn't get a Subaru loaner.
Yeah, and $250 diagnostic fee. What the fuck?
Yeah.
My mechanic here does it for free.
Yeah.
So it pissed me off, so I just ignored him. Then he called me yesterday.
To ask you to fill the survey out?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Which, dude, I was so pissed. He's literally like, hey, sorry to like call you, like been texting you, sorry to call you, but you know, my boss really wants like people to fill the... We'll give you a free oil change. And that's all I needed to hear. Filled that bitch out the minute I got off the phone.
Yeah. Was it a glorious review?
Oh, yeah. It was 10 stars.
Yeah?
Well, that was the condition. I had to give them 10 stars.
Oh, come on. You fell for it.
Yeah. I'm getting a free oil change.
Oh, come
brother.
On. They're like $20 at Walmart.
No, they're like...
they're like 60.
Yeah. I think if you do it yourself, you probably pay for a truck like $80.
Do it yourself? $80?
Yeah, maybe like 60, something like that. Yeah, it takes a lot of quarts, and then you gotta buy an oil pan. And you gotta dispose of the oil, so you gotta make a trip down to
go to the backyard.
Advance. No, I don't do that in my backyard.
I
know you have a fire pit that you can dump your oil. No.
Burn pits, let's go.
You just dump it in the neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
Like, I would put it on the trampoline.
You'll never know.
So I told you that whole story to tell you this.
Yeah.
This ties back to the $200 million ballroom that Donald Trump is trying to renovate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I get in this Uber. It's a Tesla. I already know that this guy's going to be a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everybody who drives a Tesla is.
Yeah. So I get it. I mean, if you're supporting Elon Musk by driving. No, I'm just kidding. So I get in and I can already tell this guy's a Colorado native. Like, you know, you can just tell.
Patagonia.
No.
Sweater vest.
No.
No. Smells bad.
It smells bad. Like super poor looking.
Oh, yeah, totally.
No.
But he's telling me, he's like, oh yeah, what are you in for? What do you think I'm in for? Problems with my Jeep. And he tells me his Chevy Colorado had problems, so that he sold it and he bought this car. And he's telling me all this stuff. Turns out he owns a roofing business. Okay.
Okay.
So he tells me, he's like, yeah, I do roofs, but I don't make very much money when people like just need a new roof. So let's say your roof is old and you get a leak. So you need a new roof, right? Mm. You sell the home, whatever. You need a new roof. You get it replaced. He makes a little bit of money, but not too much. You know where he makes the money? Insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that he was like, I'm praying for a hailstorm this year.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a bad hailstorm somewhere.
Yeah, insurance companies pay out.
Yeah. And they pay out a lot more than people. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's weird, right?
The insurance companies are getting all kinds of screwed over.
Yeah,
they,
that's what I'm saying.
They're like, oh, you getting insurance paid for it? Oh, man, that's like $40,000.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think what the problem is that when insurance is paying out, it's because there was a storm. You know, I mean, there might be a fire here or whatever. But
the guys that just need like a random repair done.
Yeah. Any Joe Schmo is going to do it because they don't have anything else to do.
And they don't want to pay out of pocket. Yeah.
But when insurance is covering it, probably 100 other people also need a new roof.
Yeah.
And so now they're having to pay top of market because there's only so many roof builders. So that brought me back to the $200 million because I bet it's a situation where classic government has to go buy something and they get all these bids and they go for something really expensive because people can.
Yeah, or they saved all this money in Doge and they're like, where are we going to spend all this extra money?
Well, they also fired Elon Musk. And, his salary.
Well, he had his $1 salary.
Was it $1?
No, I think it was
free. I thought it was $1 million, $100 million.
He was and like, subsidies, maybe.
You know what he should have done? He should have said, I'll get 1% of every dollar I saved.
Yeah, he should have done that. That's the proper move as an incentivized employee of any company is like, hey, pay me a little bit of a VIG and I will,
So if you saved $1 billion, how much is a billion pennies? Was that come out to dollar wise?
What, like $100,000? Doing the math.
We're having our search assistant tell us.
Doing the math.
A billion pennies is equivalent to $10 million.
$10 million. I was way off. This is. Well, I don't deal in pennies anymore because as of January in 2026, we will no longer be circulating pennies in our government. So I don't as soon as you said pennies, I was like, I don't know, man. I'm all lost now.
You forgot about pennies?
I forgot about pennies already. I've already dismissed it. My pennies don't exist anymore.
You can't. What are we going to do? I mean, Lincoln is just forgotten about.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a situation where, if, it's a 99 cents and you give them a dollar, you don't get your cent back. They just absorb it. They ain't going to give you a dime or a nickel.
So if you go to the store and it's $1.98 and you pay with your $2 bill.
Yeah.
Your vintage $2 bill.
Yeah.
They owe you 2 cents.
With the Santa on it. Yeah. They don't owe you 2 cents.
No, they owe you 2 cents.
No.
It's
all squared away.
No. So when you sit, you stand there and you demand the 2 cents.
I want my 2 cents. And they're like, why?
Yeah.
Because it's 2 cents.
Because
every time I have this conversation about 2 cents, if I have it 50 times, I will have a dollar and I'll be back for my Mountain Dew.
When I found out that a billion pennies is $10 million, do you know how many pennies I've come across and not picked up?
Not a billion. Not even close. Not even close to 100.
Yeah, but okay. Definitely more than 100.
No.
At least.
No. Chat, what do we think? We think has the average person come across 100 pennies? you know, you go, you walking down the street and you see that little sucker standing there in the middle of the sidewalk, and you're like, oh yeah, today's my day.
I found a $20 bill once.
When I was in Ireland, we found a 50. They call them a fiver. If it's $5, oh, I'll give you a fiver. You know, it's three fifty.
Yeah, you came across a 50?
33.50. Yeah, $50 bill. Wow. Just hanging out on the street.
How much is a $50 bill worth?
50 euros.
Oh, it's 50 euro?
Yeah.
Do they use euro in
they sure Ireland? Do.
Really?
Yeah. In Britain, they use the pound.
Yeah.
But in everywhere else in the European Union, they basically use
euro. Wait, Ireland is not part of the UK?
No, it is.
So shouldn't they use pounds?
Nope. They don't do it.
Because they're not in the European Union.
The UK. Yeah, they are.
The UK?
Yeah.
No, Brexit.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how all that worked. In Ireland, they're really kind of squirmy about Brexit. What? And did you know that Northern Ireland is his own country?
Yeah.
And they have open borders between the two countries.
By the way, I just want to point something out real quick. We're going to go back to the penny topic real quick. We'll come back to this.
Okay.
The average person in the U.S. encounters about 26 pennies per year based on recent statistics. The number has decreased from a peak of 72 pennies per person in 1982. 26 pennies per year times my age, which is 31, is 806 pennies.
I doubt you've seen 82 pennies or whatever it was.
806.
So, no, you definitely have not. No.
I have. I once swallowed a penny.
Well, that's because kids are dumb.
Inside me.
Kids are dumb, and Abraham Lincoln was trying to kill you. Is it weird that he gets two things? That's why they're probably like, it's fine if we get rid of it.
Okay, what is he already, on? What
he's on the on? Fiver, I think.
Is he what like for why? Why five?
Why five? He was the fifth president. I don't know why he's on the five. I don't know. They were just like, yeah, five seems good. And so there you are. Are you finding answers to these?
Yeah, questions? I'm finding answers.
So why is Abraham Lincoln on the $5 bill?
Have you ever wondered why Abraham Lincoln is on the $5 bill? The face printed on U.S. currency provides a snapshot of American history. Looking at the portraits helps us understand the prominent figures and notable events that have shaped the nation. So why is Abraham Lincoln one of the history's most admired presidents memorialized on the $5 bill? If you're short on time, here's a quick answer. Abraham Lincoln is on the $5 bill because of his vital role in preserving the Union during the American Civil War and his reputation as an advocate for enslaved people.
Not good enough.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. He should be on the 20. Why are they giving him those low denominational bills?
That has nothing, literally nothing to do with five.
There's no significance to the number five and Abraham's presidency. Am I correct in saying that?
I mean,
he's like, my favorite number was five.
Also, and I'm going to quote Trump on this one, he was assassinated, which is kind of weak.
Mm, yeah. There should be a $4 bill. Give that to that guy.
Yeah.
Who should we give the $5 to? Donald Trump, obviously.
Obviously.
Yep.
We should rename the White House the Trump House.
His big Trump logo on the top, just like all of his buildings.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
They're paying me $200 million a year to brand the White House. Look at those gold letters, so prestigious. Everybody looks at it and goes, "We love the White House. We love it."
By the way, there's an ad on this website. It says, "Why drink olive oil at night?" Drink a spoon of olive oil for 7 days. Here's what it does to your body.
Yeah, people will think there's health. People think there's health benefits to consuming olive oil, which there probably is. I don't know. People theorize if you like do a shot of olive oil before you heavily drink.
Yeah,
that you'll avoid some of the absorption of the alcohol into your bloodstream because the oil is supposed to coat your stomach. In a way that, like, prevents the seeping through the membranes, and I'm starting to talk off my knowledge base here, but...
We tested it.
It worked. I went 15 beers deep, didn't feel a thing. Didn't feel a thing. And when I crashed my car into that median, I was like, it's not the alcohol. It's me being dumb.
Yeah.
that didn't happen.
It didn't work.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
actually,
it did.
I don't remember.
Maybe it did.
I don't remember. We did that.
We didn't remember because we got so hammered.
We did that on my birthday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember how I felt the next day. I mean, it wasn't my birthday.
I don't think it was like the worst hangover I've ever had. So it could have been the worst hangover I've ever had if we didn't do that.
I think we also didn't we get to sleep in a little bit too. I think we had a little bit of a later flight.
Yeah, a little bit of a layover, yeah. Or a little bit of later.
Sometimes
flight.
I have Las Vegas. We went to Las Vegas.
Yeah, we went to Las Vegas.
Sometimes I have Las Vegas flights in the morning. That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks.
If it's too late, sucks worse.
A 1 p.m. flight, perfect.
Yeah.
You wake up,
have a snack, have your coffee, make your way to the airport.
Check out at like 10:30. Get to the airport about an hour and a half early before you flip. Get your little Starbucks. In this case, it's coffee, bean, and tea, baby.
Yeah.
That's a good coffee shop, right? Coffee, bean, and tea leaf.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's like a West Coast thing.
I feel like any chain coffee shop is going to be pretty mid.
Yeah.
So I feel like you have like Starbucks and Dunkin', they're kind of on the low end. Mm. Not that they're bad. They're just not that good. I feel like objectively they're not that good.
People like Dunkin's tastes. Like there has a specific profile.
Yeah.
A roast, you know?
Yeah.
Starbucks kind of does too, but not really.
Yeah, agreed. I think it kind of just tastes like generic coffee.
Yeah.
And the one thing I don't really like about Starbucks is they don't have really good consistency, which is really weird to me because of how big of a chain they are. I would think they would have like...
No, that becomes harder. That becomes way harder.
Well, I'm talking about with like machines, right? So we talked about how in the airport, like in the Denver airport and a lot of airports, they are utilizing like pretty much the same machine nowadays, mm-hmm. right? And so mm-hmm. the coffee kind of just tastes the same. It's good. It's pretty good. Dazbog, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Dazbog.
Yeah. Pretty good. Like,
pretty good.
I like it. I like it's okay. going there.
Yeah, does the trick.
But yeah, I feel like Starbucks hasn't really perfected that. You know, but they were during a time where you didn't really have that. So it was still a lot of like the barista had a lot of play in it.
Mm.
And you know, they could have like done the ratio badly. They could have not, they could have like burned the coffee. They could have steamed the milk incorrectly, something like that.
To me, Starbucks is like the McDonald's of coffee nowadays.
Sure. Yeah.
That's like, true. You know what you're getting. It may be, you know, it probably doesn't make you feel good after you drink it because it's got all this like sugar shit in it and stuff.
Well, you can just get like a latte.
You could. Yeah. Coffee.
I did have one of their drip coffees recently. Mm. Bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think that I know the last time I ever got like a drip coffee from them.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I was really disappointed. They had like a free, I think it was after the Super Bowl or something. After something like that. You know, they do like
the Chiefs lose, coffee. You get a free coffee.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just a small coffee. So I walked there because we had one close to the house, picked it up. And yeah, I was really disappointed. It was pretty watered down. Just it almost was like hotel coffee.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's like maybe you got one of those proudly serving. You know, because there's a difference. You go to those proudly serve coffee, like where it's like Starbucks proudly served, which means it's not a sanctioned licensed store.
Oh, this was like a Starbucks.
It's like a Starbucks. Starbucks.
Yeah, it was a Starbucks. Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably some guy in the back not doing his job.
Yeah, I mean the like old I know like the coffee. Starbucks in. You know, Albertsons, Safeways, Targets and stuff. Those are always hit or miss.
Like yeah. Yeah.
50% of the time, it's really bad.
Mm.
Sometimes it's good.
I don't think I go to Starbucks that often to like have a determination.
I've been enough because the one thing I really do like about Starbucks is they're open really early.
Yeah.
And so that comes
in. And they got decent food.
Yeah, they do have good. So, like, for me, especially as a vegetarian, and I like to eat a little bit healthier, I think Starbucks
cake pops are not healthy, Miles. He just goes to Starbucks and gets the cake pops. Yeah, he's like, vegetarian.
The cake pops and a frappuccino. Yeah.
3 cake pops and a frappe.
Extra syrup. Yeah. It's I don't know. Starbucks is decent, and then you have, I feel like, some of those chain coffee shops that are a little more specialty, like what's it called? Bean and tea.
Yeah, coffee, bean and tea.
Yeah.
Leaf.
Yeah, yeah, that one's a little bit better. And then you have obviously craft coffee shops.
Yeah.
Which they can do it very badly. I've been to plenty where it's been horrible.
And honestly, like, every boutique coffee shop is doing the same thing. They may have this $40,000 Italian espresso machine that they, you know, bought secondhand market from a coffee shop that bought firsthand market and then went under. And like, maybe they're paying attention to like calibrating it to the right temperature and pressure to draw the espresso based on like the type of bean roast that they have that week.
Well, and you got to maintain those baddies too.
You got to maintain those baddies. They break down all the time. You could make so much money just focusing on like going around town and like servicing espresso like machines, because like they're constantly breaking. In fact, I've talked to coffee brands. Shout out to Ziggy's Coffee. That they actually, once they grew to like 100 stores, they had this own internal service team that they now employ to service nothing but these espresso machines, because that's how often they break. And if you're asking yourself, why don't they buy a different machine? Because those break too. Because if you're running this thing constantly all day long, it's high heat, high pressure. That's like, none of those parts are going to last over time. Yeah. And if you're doing it over and over and over again, you think about like the number of espresso draws per day that machine's going through. There's no wonder it breaks every like 2 quarters or every like, you know, 4 months. I mean, it's like, I don't know. Nothing is ever built to last. And all the good stuff that was built to last was built 40 years ago, when like the industrial age actually used parts that matter and thought about quality over quantity, and didn't try to pinch, you know, the different materials to, you know, extract more profit to the bottom line. There's my old man soapbox.
Yeah, for sure.
Enjoyed it.
So you gotta maintain it. It's expensive.
I think we're at the part of the show where you need to eat that grapefruit rind that you promised everybody.
I am gonna eat it.
Would do.
But for all my coffee lovers out there, if you want some recommendations, if you ever come to Denver for coffee, there are plenty of good single roasteries. Not a lot of places do like roast their own beans, but a couple of places in Denver that have a few locations. One of them is going to be Monk and Mongoose, who uses Sweet Bloom Coffee Roasters coffee. Fucking delicious. I think there's 2 locations in Denver.
Yeah.
Corvus is also amazing. I believe they do their own roasting, so it's just Corvus Roasters or whatever.
Yep. Huckleberry Roasters is also very, very high quality. There's also this little Aurora place that I do want to get a shout out called Glissade Coffee. And they are roasting their own beans as well. They're a small little outfit supported by a local Aurora community, suburbs.
Yeah.
Shout out to those guys doing the Lord's work.
There's also Bean Foster's. I think that they use, actually, I don't remember whose beans they use. Someone near me, there's a coffee shop near me that uses Corvus beans.
Corvus is really good.
I don't think Bean Foster's does, but Bean Foster's is really good. They have 2 or 3 locations in Denver. One of them's right near me. One of them is in Golden near Movement, the climbing gym, but it's also half a used bookstore, which is really, really cool. So you can go in there, look for some books. There's working space, so you can, you know, work there for an hour, have your coffee. That's a really cool vibe. But I want to say they don't roast their own beans. But bean roasting, coffee shop bean roasting is really cool. That's one thing I really appreciate about the shops in Japan. Pretty much every coffee shop I went into in Japan that wasn't Starbucks had literally a roasting setup, which is crazy. Like, that's crazy. So fresh.
It's so fresh. It's also really hard to get consistent roast when you're doing it small batch. there's a lot that can go wrong.
But they do it well. All right, I'm going to eat this. All right, here we go. We're going to eat the grapefruit. And in 3, 2, 1.
I did not wash the grapefruit.
It tastes like it.
Tastes like dirty hands, soil.
It's got the classic did not wash taste. It's actually not that bad. So I think, you know, grapefruit has that really kind of like strong flavor.
Yeah, it's like bitter.
And I think it's kind of covering up. Is it called a rind?
Yeah, rind. Yeah. Or the rind.
The rind.
Rind. I don't know.
Rind. Compared to the peel of a lemon. Lemon peels are like really, really, really
like
bad.
Yeah.
They have a really bitter like taste. A
stingy taste in your mouth. Yeah.
That wasn't too bad. Yeah. You get a little bit of it, and it could have just been that specific grapefruit. Maybe it was a little more ripe or something.
They were pretty ripe. I hand squeezed this guy, and it was just like commercial. Like the juice was dripping down into the glass, and it was just like this thing was ready to be picked and ready to be used.
I like that.
And we're thankful for the gods of citrus for providing, and we shall receive every time.
Do you ever, with these topos, do you ever do an upside down spin?
No, you can't. Too carbonated.
Have you tried?
No. Do I want to die?
How do you know you can't?
Try taking 2 sips out of that thing. You can barely contain.
I'm talking empty stomach.
No way. No way. You don't think so? No. Just take a little sip. Take a big gulp of it. That nice big medium gulp. Keep it in your mouth. Okay. Close your mouth. Swish it. Yeah. You almost projectile that topo.
But you could. I mean, as long as you do it calm enough, you could do a quick swirl where it comes down.
I don't know, man. You gracefully. I watched you gracefully open that thing, and it wanted. It was angry. It wanted out of that bottle, man.
That's true. That was like one. That was 2 gulps, and
yeah,
my stomach's pretty full.
Yeah. There's no way. I think you're asking for trouble trying to do that. It would be a good video, though. It'd be pretty funny watching somebody like just completely just uke up topo.
It would probably look the same as the time I tried to do it with
Corona.
Yeah, was it Corona?
Yeah, it was Corona.
Was it Modelo?
Modelo, Corona, potato, potato.
Yeah, it was not good for me.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah,
that's.
Remember the guy who I don't know if he started it, but he did. It's like nighttime.
Yeah.
He gets home,
yeah.
And he licks it.
Yep.
And then throws it back.
Throws it back just down the hatch.
How many times do you think he did that?
I think he's done it a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked like he is prepared.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This guy has been around the block.
He I feel like he's done it where he's like put it down his throat.
You know? Yeah. Oh yeah. That guy knows how to fit that thing. Yeah, like that guy was prepared. Like
yeah.
Not his first rodeo. Well, we did it. Thank you guys for tuning in this episode. We really, really appreciate our audience. Please give us 5 stars wherever you listen to our show. If you are on YouTube, please subscribe. On Spotify, do the same. You can watch both platforms, video version, or listen, whatever suits your bet. You know, if you're running on a treadmill, you're out for a walk, do your thing. And until next time, we'll be back here with more cocktails, more political takes, more shooting ideas into the void. And until next time, adios.